Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you again for choosing to be with us here on Defined by Moments. So grab those Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1 as we continue moving forward in our series, Proverbs for Leaders. Just as a brief reminder of where we have come from, so far we have talked about the need in the way that Solomon has laid out his argument of his audience, which is not demographically related. It's focused all upon, you know, the way that you interact with knowledge and with wisdom. We have those that are considered simple, those that are considered youthful, and those that are considered wise. So he's laid out his audience. He's talked about his aim and how he is really going to present wisdom. But then we talked in our last session where we zeroed in not on the need, but upon the choice, and how that choice is to adopt the worldview of fearing the Lord, having that awe-inspiring attitude that leads to actions where we then have an adoration for who God is. It's looking at His significance in our insignificance. So Solomon, once he has gotten to this point where his introduction is done, his major thesis has been laid out, he now turns to a caution. Now this section is much longer than what we are going to get into today. Actually, our next piece on Proverbs for Leaders, we're going to look at the totality of this piece, but today we're going to zero in on just one verse. So look with me at Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 10. Now this is a short verse. It's one that many of us may be able to memorize, that we're familiar with. I'm embarrassed to say this, but as a child, this was a verse that I learned quickly. Whenever you grow up in church and you may have a memory verse competition, well, everybody's going to recite, you know, John 11:35, Jesus wept, because it's so short. So I wanted to be a little bit different. I started looking for shorter verses that I would be able to say, but I would not be that guy that, did the two-word verse. So this was one that I would often go to, but it has come to mean a lot to me as I have gotten older. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. Or, in the ESV translation, it says, do not consent. So, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. So, let's go through this phrase by phrase, piece by piece, and really see what we have here. The Hebrew word there for son is used nearly 5,000 times in the Old Testament. So this can be a broad term, like a term of endearment, like you would often see Paul reference Timothy as his son, referencing son in the faith, that term of endearment. But it could also be referencing someone that is young, someone that is youthful. We talked about that as part of the audience for what we saw in the earlier section where Solomon was naming his audience. So it's someone that's inexperienced, or it could reference, you know, someone that is part of the family. So Solomon could be speaking literally to his son. He could be speaking figuratively to those that are inexperienced, or he could be speaking to a group of people that he's discipling. All of these seem to fit into this. But one of the things that I want to challenge you with, as he is talking through this verse to you, understand that you, by your choices right now, you are the builder of your family name. So what he has applies very importantly to you. So he starts off, my son. He then shifts, if sinners, now I want to stop. That word if is important. In Hebrew, it is a participle. That really kind of lays out, this is something that can occur now, this is taking place in front of you, or it could be something in the future. This is what we would call in our English language a classic if-then statement. Now, we don't see in the English transliteration here that there is a then, but it is implied. Now, what does that mean? The if It's what I call a maybe moment. It might happen. It's not guaranteed that it's going to happen, but it certainly might. Then there's the then part of this. So Solomon is saying, if this maybe moment happens, he's going to offer you the proper choice at that time. So again, this is a classic if-then statement. So he says, my son, if sinners. Now this phrase of sinners is literally in the Hebrew, it means one that's considered guilty. The first usage of this term sinners is actually in Genesis 13:13, and it's referencing, the inhabitants there of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, in Genesis 13:13, it says, now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. So this is not a group of people that you really want to be investing in spending your time with. But Solomon is still saying, my son, if sinners, if this group of people that are considered guilty, if they come to you and they entice you. Now, we have an understanding of what the word entice means, but I absolutely love this in the Hebrew. If you go back to what we talked about in prior sessions here on Proverbs for Leaders, we looked at how there was an aspect of one of these people in the audience, the simple, that were considered naive. This word here for what Solomon is aiming at, this aspect of enticing, comes from that root word, and it means wide open. So remember, in the earlier session, we talked about mentally roomy. Well, here we see this again. So the aspect of enticing, where you're wide open with the lips, what that simply means is there's this aspect of persuasion. There's an alluring. There's a flattery. There's a deception. And I used this example before, and I'm going to use it again. Think of a fisherman that has a lure that he throws out into that pond or in that lake to try and get that fish to believe it's bait, and then they strike, and then you haul them in. So what Solomon is saying in this classic if then is, son, you need to listen to me. If these sinners come and they offer you something, if they try to entice you to get you to yield, then you have a choice to make. Notice what he does. This is not, if you are enticed, then you shall fall. It is the aspect of, if you are enticed, what decision are you going to make? And it goes back to how you interact with wisdom. If you fear the Lord, then you're going to view him as significant, yourself as insignificant, and that is going to shape your choice. But where he comes back to this, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not breathe after them. In other words, that image of sharing the same air, sharing the same space. So it's the speaking of close fellowship. Solomon is saying, do not gain satisfaction by following through with what they have offered to you. Do not yield to them. Do not will to happen what they have just offered in front of you. Do not be content with the offer that they have given. You instead need to do something different. So this is a short, simple verse. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. We in our daily lives are inundated with opportunities to do things that are wrong. We as leaders are presented opportunities to choose to take shortcuts. And what have I said before? There are no shortcuts to success. And quite frankly, if you take a shortcut, they're never a shortcut, but boy, those cuts are deep. So that is something that we need to wrestle with. And the key to this is we need to be prepared when things are going well, so that when these kinds of opportunities are presented to us, then we're able to respond the right way with the aspect of the fear of the Lord. So there are some specific applications that I want to make to you. And number one, regardless of what's taking place in our world, wrong is wrong, no matter how many people try to make it look nice. That is one of the biggest issues that we face in our world today. It's where bad is being called good and good is being called evil. But there's a flip side to this. Right is always right, no matter how bad people try to make it. This is where that aspect of you being settled in your mind, going back to the fear of the Lord, that I fear the Lord more than I fear anyone else. I have more awe and respect and veneration for Him than the praise of man. If we have that settled, then this becomes so much easier. Number two, I call this one away. Every single one of us in our lives and in our leadership are one away. What do I mean by that? We are one bad decision from ruining everything. So when I say one away, I mean every decision, every day matters. We need to have that lens, that worldview of fearing the Lord so that we can then look at the decision, evaluate the decision, and make the right choice. One away. Number three here. What we often fail to do is we think that we are prepared for when the difficult situation arises, and we're not. So we need to have this settled when things are going smoothly, so that when the difficulty arises, then we know to say no. You know, think about how you go through a process of trying to eat better. Well, if you're going to do that, you have to curb your impulse buys. Which means if you're going to a grocery store, what is there at every cash register right before you check out? It's the candy bars, and it's the 20-ounce sodas that are cold but are more expensive than a 2-liter. It's that impulse buy. If you have not settled in your mind before you step foot into that grocery store that you're not going to buy that candy bar and you're not going to buy that soda, then when you get there, you are susceptible to falling. That is why Solomon, in the beginning of this section where he is going to talk about how to resist certain things, is very clear. He's trying to get our attention by saying, my son, listen to me. If sinners entice you, and again, that if is that could be happening right now in the present, or it could be something that's going to take place in the future. If that happens, do not consent. Resist. Do not bend your will. Stand strong. He lays that out for us because he knows it needs to be settled before we get into the situation. And the last thing that I will say is this. A right no is always better than a wrong yes. Let me say that again. A right no is always better than a wrong yes. Let's just be quite frank here. There are times that you're going to make the right decision and you are going to feel bad about it. When I have talked to others and we have gotten into this concept of making the right decision even though it's difficult, you know, I've told them, or as I'm talking to emerging leaders and trying to prepare them for when they get into that official leadership position and have to make the difficult call, I always tell them, you need to be prepared to make the right decision at the right time in the right way for the wrong reason, and it feel like the wrong decision at the wrong time in the wrong way for the wrong reason. Sometimes doing what's right is not going to feel that way, which is why it needs to be settled in your heart before it occurs. So to you, as you live your life, as you lead others, I say the same thing that Solomon put forward to us through Scripture. When those maybe moments come, you need to be prepared to make the proper choice. If you do that, then you will save yourself a lot of heartache. If you don't do that, if you give in to that impulse, then unfortunately, your life is going to be more difficult because sin has consequences. So as Solomon said, in speaking to those that he references, the son, and I mentioned this earlier, remember that you are building your family name. So set the right example by being prepared. A right no is always better than a wrong yes. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. We hope to have you back with us in the not too distant future, and you take care.